Good morning to Facebook Live. Good morning to our local listeners here on KSDR 1480 here in Watertown,
Neil's
South Dakota.
Back.
Neil who?
Neil.
The guy who forgot his computer last week and had to turn around.
He flew all the way in from China and his arms are tired.
You're kind of tall for a Chinese guy.
I am.
You kind of got reddish, blondish, cherry blonde hair too.
Well, what can I say? Mama, you know mama.
They probably it's color true. A few of those hairdos over there nowadays anyway, so
it
you don't know.
It is true. The camera puts on 20 pounds.
Look at that.
Oh! Suck it in, kid. Suck it in, kid. Oh,
it's
going to
be a heck of an interview today.
For those that are are like normal local listeners, we're actually showing this on I guess you'd call it video on Facebook Live.
Does that make us TV stars?
Internet
sensations?
We don't have faces for TV.
Oh,
not
that's
me
true.
No.
Oh.
Believe me, you don't have a breath for radio either. So.
Hey, did you find any assault weapons that were made in China?
I have a couple.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, well, we're not going to buy those.
No, you can't have them. You can't sell them either.
Do you buy any Chinese lures?
No.
And mail them to Mike?
Mail them to our regular guest, Mikey Lewis, up in northern Minnesota, so he can chase some muskies with his...
Chinese lures?
Oh, you get him fired up about that. And that guy, don't want to get him fired up.
No. You get him fired up. That's a lot of fired up.
That's a lot of fired up.
And you know we're way too close because I can smell old Smokey from here.
Oh,
that,
Smokey,
by the way, is it
people
me?
Don't know that it's old Smokey is not Neil Jensen.
No, it's this microphone that I think's been here since the turn of the century.
Walter Cronkite did his first announcement through this microphone.
Isn't that true? Take a look at that, honey.
Back when they used to smoke and they'd be like, "Welcome to the radio show."
Right, I get that.
Yeah, I tell you what,
nice
maybe
low radio.
Here, Randy Grimes. Here. Give me another pack.
And that's the news for tonight. Thank you.
Oh. Hey, speaking of news.
Change your mind now. It's Randy Grimes.
Speaking of news. Speaking of news. Is our little speaker working this morning?
Yep.
We've got a return guest because we didn't get everything covered yesterday. Ooh. About assault weapons.
Last week?
Did I say last night?
You said yesterday.
Oh, man. Here we go, screwing up already,
Lynn
really
was not out golfing last night. Anyways.
Hey, I got under 100 strokes.
That means you don't fish enough. That's
Neil's go, well, if you're under 100, then you're still a fisherman.
Over 100, you're still
okay,
a fisherman. Yeah.
So I have been over 100, like, out of the six times out this year, I've been over 100 four of the times.
Oh, that's good.
105, 105, 110, and 122.
Sounds like my bowling game.
Oh.
That's actually a good average for a fisherman.
All right, rise and shine, Darren Goins.
Let's see if he's on.
Are you with us from the East Coast?
Hey, I sure am. Thanks, Lynn.
Oh, wow. That's our sound guy here is actually performing again for 2 weeks in a row.
He was gone last week.
For those that missed our show last week, we got into a real conversation with a local favorite, one of a local, and you know what, Darren, afterwards, we had a lot of local fans listening to you that grew up with you, relatives, and it was kind of fun, but you know, we've come a long ways, and tell us a little bit quickly about where you're at and what you're doing, and then we'll get into some more of these fun questions.
Yeah, I'm out in New Jersey right now, just right outside New York City. I, of course, went to high school in Watertown, as you mentioned, and University of South Dakota for undergrad, and then I made a couple detours, Kansas for graduate school, and then I worked for the legislature out in Denver in Colorado for 8 years before taking a job with NRA and heading to Northern Virginia, and now up here. My assignment with NRA has been split into two halves, essentially. The first 5 years I handled South Dakota, North Dakota, Michigan, and Colorado, western states, midwestern states, and now I handle the Northeast for the last 5 years, so I do New York, New Jersey, Vermont, and Rhode Island, so that's what brings me out here.
So last week we were just getting into the, kind of the thick of things, and I was mentioning why we hadn't heard in our wonderful, non-slanted, non-biased national and local medias, why they have... Well, I mean...
Well, it's easy because you can't find that station.
Whoa, my glasses got fogged up on that one.
Why we haven't heard about how big the lawsuit's going to be for not having the security at the Pulse what do we call it, a Pulse nightclub in Orlando.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's been a lot of discussion where folks have said, listen, if you're going to put up signs that render people defenseless, then you should assume some civil liability. Another case in point would be the Aurora Theater shooting. That theater, in fact, the whole chain, I believe, put up signs declaring it a gun-free zone, which, of course, makes people nothing more than victims. So if you're going to put up the sign and slap the handcuffs on people for taking responsibility for their own self-defense, well, then when something goes bad, maybe that business should assume some liability because, in effect, their company policies are costing people innocent lives.
The litigating world is pretty quick to point their finger at the gun dealer or the gun manufacturer. It's like, I lost it when they said we need to sue the gun manufacturer for these things, and I'm like,
it's like suing Neil when you don't catch any fish in his boat.
And I'm never letting that happen again.
No, but it's the same scenario. It's totally just ludicrous.
So are you?
Yeah, and that's really, you know, that's really a sort of an asinine point, suing the gun manufacturers, because, you know, a decade or better ago, Congress passed the Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which gave the industry liability from lawsuits it protected them from frivolous lawsuits, essentially. And so what that does, and it's often mischaracterized by Hillary Clinton and other people, you know, if your firearm malfunctions, just like your automobile or your microwave or anything else, that manufacturer can still be held liable. But the lawsuits weren't meant to say, oh, a bad guy did a bad deed with your product, now you're liable and we can sue you. I mean, that's crazy. You would be suing, you know, knife companies, you would be suing car companies for DUIs, for example. So the Lawful Commerce and Arms Act gave those companies those sorts of protections from frivolous lawsuits. So a lot of these cases where they're simply just suing the gun manufacturers to make some sort of a political statement, I don't see those being incredibly successful because the law simply isn't on the side of the plaintiff in that case.
Well, you know, recently Tesla, there was an accident with a self-driving GPS-guided Tesla car, and I'm not sure, but the last time I checked, they haven't put those self-driving, self-shooting guns together yet at these manufacturers, have they?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we bring the self-driving car analogy up all the time when we're talking about smart guns. You know, the president's mentioned that in his town hall meeting, and we've also been fighting smart gun legislation in states like New Jersey, Maryland, and California, I believe, are the only three states to tackle that. And essentially what they're doing now in New Jersey is mandating that stores sell smart guns. And so the current law that's on the books says that once a smart gun is offered for sale, then all traditional handgun sales are banned. It's a backdoor gun attempt. So now we draw the parallel to the self-driving technology this way. They're mandating that smart guns be sold. This would be the equivalent of going to the car industry and saying, we mandate that self-driving cars be sold, and then once you sell one, all traditional cars, they're banned. You can't sell them. It's absolutely crazy. They treat the gun industry completely different than they treat the rest of these industries.
The backdoor stuff, I mean, I hadn't heard that, Darren. That's an interesting go at it. Had you heard that, Neil? I saw you nodding.
Well, there's a lot of problems with the smart cars anyway. They can't make a decision if they have to make a choice. If you're going to kill yourself or five innocent people, the cars don't know which to do. They can't make that human decision. So the smart cars are so far off, it's not even funny.
So the smart guns are going to have the same issue. Well, do we kill 100 or do we just kill one?
You can't replace a person, and you know, if you're mentally deficient, you're mentally deficient. It doesn't matter if you're driving a car or shooting a gun. And it has nothing to do with the guns. Mm-hmm.
And the smart gun technology is a long ways off, too, by the way. And, you know, and it's funny when committee testifying against these bills, people talk about, well, if you can get your iPhone to do this or that, we should be able to get a gun to do this. Well, a lot of the technologies are the same as far as fingerprint ID. Some of them have a chip in a watch that corresponds to a chip inside the gun. I mean, this stuff is science fiction. Can you imagine in the middle of the night having to make sure your watch is on to match the chip in your gun so that it'll fire? I mean, it's absolutely absurd. But the bigger point in all of this is what I was talking about is a backdoor gun ban, because that law in New Jersey said once these things are offered for sale, you can't go to the gun shop and buy a traditional 38 or a 9mm Glock. Any sort of traditional handgun is now banned. And so this is their way of doing that. And this, you know, this segues nicely into the discussion about AR-15s and so-called assault weapons, because if you think that they're just coming after your assault weapons, you're out of your mind. They want to ban everything. And I think it's harder for people to wrap their minds around this if they live in other parts of the country. But we're not making this up. We're not being paranoid. This stuff is actually happening in the part of the country that I live in and on the other coasts. You know, for example, in New Jersey, we got done testifying on a committee bill, and three of the Democrat sponsors of the bill were caught on a live hot mic, and the Senate Majority Leader turned to the other two female legislators and said, what we need to do is confiscate, confiscate, confiscate. And that's what it really boils down to. So
the British are coming. The British are coming.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when I come out west in the Midwest, we're out hunting, and, you know, some family members or friends are like, oh, come on, they can't take your guns. They're not going to take your guns. And, you know, think about how this discussion has evolved. You know, Hillary Clinton's been mentioning the Australia ban quite regularly on the campaign trail. You know, for the last 20 years, those sorts of discussions were political suicide. They weren't even brought up. So clearly the other side is becoming more emboldened on this issue. And I think that you look at some of the things that California just did recently last week, some of the historic anti-gun bills that they passed. We're losing in some, not everywhere, but in some states we're losing more and more every year. It's a constant erosion. It's a constant whittling away. So when people come to us and discuss the AR-15 issue, it's very simple. This gun is demonized because of cosmetic features. It functions much the same way as your semi-auto shotgun. And if they ban a firearm based on its functionality, the next step to going to get your shotgun or your semi-auto rifles or your handguns, it's a very small leap to do that, because they write in the functionality requirements in law, and these things function much the same. And if you look at Australia, that was not a voluntary gun buyback. That was a mandatory surrender of property, and it wasn't confined to just AR-15s. That included things like shotguns that were used for hunting and other target pistols and rifles. That was a sweeping gun ban, and I think it's often mischaracterized. And the other thing, since we're on Australia and that's mentioned a lot, you know, you're talking about 650,000 to 750,000 firearms that they rounded up in this country. It's 150 million, and that's probably a conservative estimate. And the government paid over market value to reimburse folks. Can you imagine if we did that in this country? It's not like we don't have $19 trillion in debt or anything.
And we're going to have to pay back Jupiter for everything we're borrowing. I don't know. You know, you're talking about that AR-15, Darren, and how they're targeting that gun. And really, just because it's an automatic, I think they target it because of cosmetically is how it looks. You know, everybody's thinking, you know.
I had the question last night, sitting at the golf course afterwards. Lynn, what's wrong with, he goes, I really think they should ban assault weapons. And I go, do you know what else they're going to ban? I wasn't smart enough to answer that question. And I think if he knew what they were after, he wouldn't believe what he said last night.
Nobody wants assault weapons. But nobody knows what assault weapons means either,
exactly,
until you go to
right.
Check out the definition.
Yeah, exactly.
It's basically anything we
I
own.
I can have an assault cap gun. I can make it look pretty rough.
The only way I could answer his question was to say, if these crazies want to get crazy and come to my home, I want something that's bigger and better.
Yeah, absolutely. But you don't,
at least, want
a Tech 9. We're not talking about these things that are already.
I'm just talking the AR that I shot my foot with. Yeah, that's all I want.
Although
I want a 30-round clip that.
Although those guns have been known to cause serious bodily damage to Lynn Jones.
Yeah, exactly. They're known to blow your heel right off. Not with the first shot. That's why they put a 30-round clip there.
Oh yeah,
I only first shot 29 more times. We'll take care of it.
Multiple shots with the semi-automatic rifle.
But to get back to the point. Darren, I want to be able to defend myself with something. And yes, I mean, with the shotguns and the slugs and the combination of different shells that you can throw in a shotgun, you know, there's a pretty decent arsenal, but I want to be able to get them when they're out getting me. Absolutely. At the same distance. I mean, my shotgun's not going
to
be that.
Absolutely. Everybody says they are opposed to assault weapons, but nobody really understands what's in that category.
And no one's had to, not some of those people haven't had to defend their home yet or their business or anything like that. Absolutely. Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, and I was going to say, you know, before we dive too far into the discussion, I mean, let's start at first base, and that is, you know, these things, in terms of defining what we're talking about, you know, the other side refers to these as assault rifles. Of course, they're not truly assault rifles because none of them are fully automatic, and I think that that's the major point that's overlooked and mischaracterized by the media, because when they cut to their footage on an assault rifle story, they show a fully automatic gun shooting a cinder block, so that people have this notion that they're, you know, battlefield weapons. Yeah. It's not the case at all. The civilian version of the AR-15 and the M4 are completely different. Ask anybody in the military, or try going to Dick's Sporting Goods and tell me what the Marine version. It's not going to happen. It's completely different. So what exactly fits the definition of an assault weapon? Well, it's a gun that takes a detachable magazine that has one or more of the following features: a pistol grip, a retractable stock, a bayonet lug, a grenade launcher, but didn't forget any. What I'm driving at here is these are all features that are cosmetic. They make the thing look like, you know, a military weapon, when in fact, you could easily take the bayonet lug off and no one would even notice. You know, to illustrate my point, I had posted at one point a side-by-side picture of two guns that looked almost identical. And I said, can you pick which one's an assault rifle? And virtually no one can distinguish which one is which. Because are you able to tell if that firearm has a bayonet lug or not? Are you able to tell if the stock retracts or not? In most cases, you can't, because you can simply pin the stock and it's fixed. So my point overwhelmingly is we're debating this issue over features that are completely cosmetic. And the first gun that I did side-by-side, the assault weapon, is a legal gun. It looks identical. It functions identical. It's legal, and one is illegal because it has a bayonet lug on it. I mean, it's when was the last time you heard of someone robbing a 7-Eleven? Stab him with a bayonet. I mean, it doesn't happen. And the thing in the assault weapon, this really is just in the assault weapon debate, it's just really a PR campaign by the other side, because if you look at the facts, less than 1% of all crime is committed with a rifle of any kind. That includes your .22s, your .30-06s, any kind. So even fewer are committed with AR-15. This, quite frankly, this isn't a crime gun. There are more murders that are committed in this country with knives and fists. And that's just a plain fact, and it's not even close. So for them to focus all of their attention on this, they're doing it because the tragedies they've seen are horrific. It's an easy PR sell for them to demonize this gun. But in reality, you could ban assault rifles tomorrow and you wouldn't see a bit of difference in the crime rate, because they're not crime guns. And there's empirical evidence to support what I just said, because from 1994 to 2004, we had a federal assault weapons ban in this country. And when it was allowed to expire in 2004, the U.S. Justice Department took a look at that and said, what kind of impact did it have on crime? And there was virtually no impact on crime. So the evidence is really firmly on our side. It's just, like I said, it's the demonization of something based on cosmetic features. These things function the same as your shotgun. And once they get this ban, you know, hold on to everything, because they're coming for it.
Okay. Now let's talk about the politics here real quickly.
Yep.
We have an election coming up, and probably one of the most vital things in regards to this election are these things that are affecting the assault ban expiration, these laws that they're passing in California. If they get challenged, they're going to take them to the U.S. Supreme Court in the end, and they're going to decide. Now, Darren, you're following the politics a lot closer than I am, but there is a chance that the next president will be appointing at least three new Supreme Court justices.
Three, maybe even four. I mean, it's based on the age of the current justices. I mean, this is a critical time in the history of our country. I mean, the impact of the next president isn't going to be felt in terms of legislation that they usher through. It's going to be on who they put on the bench. I mean, that's just the way it is.
So can we vote for Randy Angermeyer, angleworm expert fisherman on Mille Lacs Lake? Can we vote for him? I don't know about these other two.
Professional ice noodler.
Give me all your money or I'm going to butter your toast. That's what you do if you use a bayonet to hold up a 7-Eleven with,
So, I mean, when you're researching, and we're down to just one or two minutes here in the research, I mean, do we trust, who do we trust on this next thing? I know one side we can't trust, but I mean, even Mr. Trump,
I can't trust Neil.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Wait a minute. I don't know if I'd trust either of these two on the next election.
I don't think we have a clear cut choice. I mean, I know we have a clear cut wrong choice, but I don't think we have a great choice coming up.
Darren?
I will tell you from my personal experience, things are portrayed one way in the media, and I know positions have shifted for Mr. Trump, but I can tell you, and at one point, his credentials on the gun issue were very nebulous at best. But I can tell you that his position has evolved, and that's not just political quick talk. It really has, and that's due in large part to the fact that his sons are big hunters. They go over to Africa. They're safari guys. They hunt. They fish. And they're true sportsmen. They've been to the NRA annual meeting. I've interacted with Don Jr. on a bill in New York that goes after safari hunt. So I know that these guys are legitimate hunters, and based on what I've been told is that in discussions with their father, they've discussed the assault weapons ban, they've discussed other Second Amendment issues, and his positions have changed because he's become more knowledgeable. And, I've seen that before in state legislatures all over the country. I had an F-rated candidate in Rhode Island. She's an A-plus and a bill sponsor now. So people's position does change based on the knowledge that they acquire. And I think that in the case of Trump, I feel quite comfortable that that's the far superior choice on our issue here.
All right, Darren. With that, Crooked Hillary and Crazy Donald, we'll see what happens.
It'll be an interesting election.
It's entertaining.
What was that?
It's going to be entertaining. I mean, can you imagine the debates? I mean, nobody's even wrapped their minds around what the debates are going to look like. But this is going to be like WWF pay-per-view.
As far as comedy value, I would be turning on the Comedy Channel every night to see what the
recap is. Can you imagine who's going to be watching politics now?
The nice thing is, buy stock in popcorn because it's going on. Thanks a lot, Darren.
All right, Darren, thank you again. That was Darren Goins from the New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island territory of NRA, a lobbyist out there for them. And thank you a ton for the information in regards to the guns and all the fun bands we're going to have if we have certain things going on.
You're going to Devil's Lake?
On the water, in the air. No one knows that I'm going to Devil's Lake.
Okay. And I'm not going to Oahu.
No one knows that Neil and I get to go fishing this weekend. All right, over and out, everyone.
I'm taking a nap.
No naps because he's saving people.
He's so doggone good. This
is all right. All right. On to news, Randy Grimes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. And this is KSDR Watertown.